All right, we're in Romans chapter 1 this morning, so let's open our Bibles up to Romans chapter 1. You know, we started a two-part series last week in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 1. I titled the message, Righteousness by Faith. This is the second part of that. And so let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, shall we? I'll read the odd verse. You read the even verse. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Amen. Let's bow our hearts before him, shall we? Father God, it is good to be here with my brothers and sisters, Lord, to lift our hearts to you in worship and song. Lord, we're so thankful that you've called us out of this world, Lord. You've put your Holy Spirit as a guarantee, Lord, that we are yours. And one day, Lord, you're going to call us home. We look forward to that. But Father, we've gathered together to hear from you this morning. I pray that your word would come alive, that you would change who we are, Lord. And Lord, give us ears to hear. I pray that you would anoint our hearts to receive. Lord, that you would anoint me to teach. We love you, Jesus. We commit this time to you, and we pray these things for your glory. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when I first became a Christian, I really wanted to share my faith with others. And, you know, I wanted to tell them, my friends and my family, the treasure that I had found in Jesus Christ. You know, I was all excited about it. You know, all of this burden was left behind me, and I was excited. The problem was, is my friends and families weren't excited or as excited as I was, right? And, you know, my mom used to say, "Scott, can't we talk about something else? You know, I don't mind a little bit of Jesus, the little bit of Jesus stuff, but every conversation is about Jesus." She looked at me when she said that, you know, with a look kind of like, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it's just a little bit too much. You know, I was confused because, you know, people didn't like me before. And now they don't like me because Jesus is changing me. You know, it's too much. I told her, I said, "Mom, you know what? I don't want to talk about anything else. Jesus Christ has changed my life." You know, when you're in love with somebody, you talk about them. You want to express yourself about them. And you know, I was born again, and he is real to me. I want to share him with others. And I found in time, though, that the resistance from others began to push on me, and you know, wanting to be accepted, I began to clam up some. As I grew in my understanding of the word, I began to see sharing the gospel as a task. It was a task that I felt like I had to do. You know, there's a great story about a famous violinist. His name was Fritz Kreisler. He was an Australian. He had traveled around and playing his music. He was very renowned at the time. And in his travels, he came into a city and he came across this exquisite violin. And he thought, "I just got to have this violin." He couldn't afford it. And so he went home to raise the money to buy it. And once he had raised the money, he went back and found the man who owned the violin and he offered to buy it. But the man had already sold the violin to a collector. And Fritz was, you know, determined, so determined to have that violin that he went out and he found the collector and offered to buy it. And the collector said, I can't part with this violin. It's my prized possession. And so Fritz was disappointed. But as he turned to leave, he asked the collector, would you mind if I played the violin before it's consigned to an eternal silence in your collection? And the collector said, sure. And so Kaiser began to play this violin, and he began to play it with such inspiration, you know, in this song, that the collector was moved by what he heard and said, you know, I have no right to keep this to myself. It's yours. Take it to the world and let people hear it. You see, God has placed this treasure in these earthen vessels. This treasure, this good news in us who are born again. We need to let people hear it. We need to share it. It's not a task. It's a treasure we get to give away. You know, that's certainly the way that Paul felt and the way that he saw it. It's really all about a perspective, isn't it? What motivates us to share the gospel? It's perspective. And by way of review, Paul saw himself as a debtor because of the debt that he had been forgiven. And so he was eager to preach the gospel to them who were in Rome. He said in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You know, this is quite a statement if you think about it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And when you think of all that Paul went through at this point, that's a huge statement. He was snuck out over the wall in Damascus. He had been stoned and left for dead in Lystra. He had been beaten up, arrested, and put in jail in Philippi. He had been cast out of Thessalonica. He had been laughed to scorn in Athens. He had nearly torn in pieces. You remember when the riot broke out as he preached the gospel in Jerusalem. And after all of that, he says, I can't wait to go to Rome and do it all over again. Why was that? Well, all I can say is Paul was unstoppable. He was unstoppable. He knew his purpose. He knew what he was about. He was so grateful. And man, he was motivated. He wasn't intimidated by anyone or anything. The religious leaders of Jerusalem didn't intimidate him. The political rulers of Judea didn't intimidate him. The intellectuals at Athens didn't intimidate him. The Caesars at Rome didn't intimidate him. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why is that? How could Paul be so eager to engage in the very exercise that got him jailed and beat up and left for dead and scorned over and over again? Why did he find such joy in sharing the gospel? I want to suggest to you, as I suggested last time, it's because he experienced firsthand the power of the gospel in his own life. That's what made it good news. That's what it was. It was good news. It was good news that he was delivered. And I think the first reason that Paul wasn't ashamed is because it was good news. Whenever you have good news, you want to share it with people, right? You're not ashamed of it. Let's say that you were diagnosed with cancer and you were successfully treated. When you went to the doctor, he told you there's not a trace of cancer left in your body. That's good news. And you want to share it, right? Or let's say that you lived in a country where there was war, and you know, many in your country had lost their lives fighting for freedom. And you suddenly heard good news that the war is over. Or say, you know, you just received a letter in the mail from someone that, you know, was in your extended family, and you've never met the person before, but they deposit millions of dollars in your bank account. You'd want to share it, right? You're not ashamed of it. It's good news, and you want everybody to know. The second reason that Paul was unashamed is not only is it good news, but it's God's power. He said, it, the gospel, is the power of God to salvation. The gospel is the power of God, and it's for salvation. And we talked about that last time. It has the power to save man from an eternal separation from God. It has the power to salvation. Not only is the gospel the power of God to salvation, but it is offered to everyone and anyone who believes. God has made salvation so simple that even a child can receive it. Not only is it good news, not only is it God's power, and not only is it salvation, but it's offered to everyone who believes. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it makes you right with God. Verse 17, he says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Again, this is the theme of the book of Romans, righteousness by faith. Or as some may say, how to get right with God, or how to make people right with God. Why be ashamed of what makes wrong people right with God? Why is that shameful? Why would you be ashamed of that? What it implies is that we are not right with God naturally. And we are going to see that as we go into the next few weeks in our studies. I've heard people say, you know, me and God are cool. You know, me and God, you know, we're just okay. We got it together. You know, we got this understanding. No, you're not. If you haven't received the forgiveness of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ upon the cross for forgiveness of your sin and are born again, you're not right with God. You're not okay with God. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. See, in the very next verse, Paul explains, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." You see, what Paul is saying is, naturally, we are not okay with God. But by believing by faith and receiving the free gift of salvation by faith makes us right with God. It makes us righteous. Look at verse 17 again. "For in it," in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed," I love this, "from faith to faith." The idea is from faith to faith, to faith, to faith, to faith. You keep handing it down from my faith to your faith. Faith passed down throughout history, as it is written, those who are just or justified or made just as if we'd never sinned. He's quoting there from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, "The just or the justified shall live by faith." I love that. The best definition of justified is made just, as if you and I never sinned. When God looks upon us, we talked about imputed righteousness last time. God looks at us in the blood of Jesus Christ. His righteousness is imputed to us. We have no righteousness of our own. And that's good news. You know, it's not about us. It's about Him and what He's done for us. Now, belief, what we believe, will change behavior. You're not saved by behavior. You're saved by your belief. But if it's real belief, it will change your behavior. You'll see works because of your faith. But here's the deal. It's not the faithfulness of the Christian that saves us. It's their faith in Christ that saves us. Eternal life is a gift. It's not an earning. It's free. It's not a fee. It's received. It's not produced, and it's not manufactured. But not everybody will agree with that. Just the simple belief. That's all I have to do is believe. And they won't go along with that. That's why religious is such a big business. Religion is. As religion would say, you know, you have to keep the Ten Commandments, or you've got to be baptized and go to confirmation and Holy Communion and do these last rites and a number of other things to get to heaven. You see, people will accept that they are sinners, but they will not accept that they can't solve the problem themselves. It's too easy just to believe. I've got to do something. That's human pride. When you say, really? I can't do anything because I can never do enough. And if I did all the good works in the world, it would make up one rung on the ladder getting into heaven. And so you just say, it's been done. It's all been done for me. And I'm going to believe it. You see, when it's all said and done, that's what it boils down to. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's where we're going to end today.